The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
Welcome back. Today, we talked to Nick Young. Nick is an organizer with the Downtown Eastside SRO Collaborative, and Nick works with Chinese-speaking seniors in SROs. The seniors he works with face a number of challenges put together. Many live under the poverty line and don't speak much English. Nick tells us about his plan so far on communicating public health and vaccine information to seniors and about the challenges that seniors can face accessing government programs and financial aid. Here's Nick. Nick Young, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Maisie.
Nick, I want to hear about the Chinese-speaking tenants you work with. I want to hear about how they're doing so far in the pandemic. But let's start off with a bit of background. Tell us about the Chinese-speaking tenants you work with. Where do they live and approximately how many do you work with?
Yeah, sure. So right now I'm working with about 115 Chinese tenants who live in SROs, mostly run by or operate by benevolent associations. Some are private building. They're mostly around Chinatown and Downtown Eastside. So there's about like 9 Chinese SROs in Chinatown right now, or left. Yeah, there used to be more, but probably for the last 20 years, there's only 9 left.
And Nick, just to clarify, when you say Chinese SROs, are they, is it only Chinese-speaking tenants that tend to live there? Is it predominantly Chinese-speaking tenants, or what's the parameters? What are the parameters here?
So I would say, like, when I say Chinese SROs, I mean the majority of the population are Chinese-speaking. Obviously, some of the building have a special case. It's going to be a mix, but mostly they either speak Cantonese, Mandarin, or some sort of dialects.
And I'm curious about the language breakdown, Nick. How much of it, if you had to take a guess, what percentage of folks that you work with speak Cantonese versus Mandarin versus Toisan or another dialect?
I would say 80-20. 80% of them understand Cantonese and speak some form of Cantonese dialects, and 20% will say maybe 10% with Mandarin, and then the other 10% would be speaking other languages or like from other non-Chinese.
Right. And Nick, can you give us a sense, how are the Chinese speaking tenants you work with doing during this pandemic?
How are they doing? It's very depends on which building they are, and also depends on the location and how the building is managed. So some of the SROs, a lot of them have lost their work, a lot of tenants, especially those in their late 50s or early 60s, they're still working. I even heard a case that like a 74 years old still working in a restaurant, but lost her job because of the pandemic. And a lot of them are receiving the SERP and holding on based on using their EI right now.
Nick, I just wanted to check in because I think there's a portion of Vancouver's population that when they think about the Chinese-speaking population in Vancouver, they think about folks who are fairly well off, who are fairly wealthy. And I don't think I'm hearing that from you.
No, that's not the case at all, not in Chinatown. I think one thing that when seeing Chinese SROs, a lot of people don't understand is that they are pretty much like a, I hate to use that word, but like invisible in the communities. Like when, you know, there's a lot of nonprofits and upcoming organizations in Chinatown, and they are very connected to the seniors in the community, but most of them are actually living in the social housing. Well, thanks God, there's a lot of social housing around the community. From my working experience, you can really tell, like those who move into social housing and have a housing security, they have more time and more energy to connect, you know, or to volunteer or to be more active around the communities. But like these SROs, these 115 tenants that I'm working with right now, they have no access, or they have not even heard of a lot of these organizations. So like there's a huge gap between the social housing Chinese seniors and these SRO tenants that I'm working with. There's a gap between social service. Yeah. A lot of them are working in restaurants, doing dishes, being, what do you call that? Sous chef. And some of them, a lot of them actually work in the factory, including the poultry in Scatrona, or like, you know, working behind the store in a lot of these Chinese retails. Chinatown retails, yeah.
I think that's a segment of the population we don't often hear about in the media. COVID-19 vaccinations, are the tenants you're working with, do they have access to these vaccines, and how do they feel about them?
A lot of them are on the list. Like, you know, we're going with age right now, right? So a lot of them are actually going to be the first group, if not like the second group going to get the vaccine. But like right now, we're actually facing a huge problem because a lot of the seniors, you know, they don't have connection, or they don't have access to the Western media. And mostly they get their news and their information from WeChat, like a Chinese social media, and from through friends, like just like word, you know, word on the street kind of situation. And a lot of them have like anti-vaccine sentiments, and or like they don't trust the vaccine, and some of them doesn't even know, you know, what is 3CH or CDC. Right now my priority right now is actually to do some public health awareness campaign and try to like counter all these anti-vaccine sentiment that they have. One thing I can give you an example. For example, like they're talking about how the vaccine that you know, Canada is importing is not as good as the one that China are manufacturing right now. But they don't know what they're talking about. All they hear is just hearsay from their friends. So that's something I need to work on.
Nick, where do you think this anti-vaccine sentiment that some seniors hold, what's the root causes of it? Is it lack of distrust in government, in the health authorities? Is it just lack of information, period? What's the root cause?
I think it's something that I still need to explore more. But right now, I can tell you that just in Chinese media, there's a lot of news saying that how the side effects killed seniors, or like after like older, when the people older than 75 or something, the chance of them having side effects and have long-term, it's a lot higher than, you know, younger folks. And that's something that they really worry about. And the Chinese media are really, you know, trying to sell papers by you know, selling the views, you know what I mean?
You talked about wanting to do a public health campaign. What about government bodies, such as the BC Center for Disease Control? Is their Chinese language outreach, if any, helpful in reaching at all this community?
I know they have recruited a bunch of folks who speak dialects or speak Cantonese, such Mandarin, but I haven't heard so much about from them, actually. I think, yeah, there's not much of coordination between us and what we see right now.
And what would a public health campaign, you think, look like that would be effective, that other organizations can run?
It really needs to be literacy friendly, because all the, for example, when the pandemic just started last year during March, there was a lot of poster and flyers were generated and printed, and we asked to distribute them. But the feedback I got from my tenants and from senior is that there's too many texts there. They're not interested in reading it. And some ran to me, you know, you asked us to help you to put the poster up, you know, in the kitchen, in the bathroom. but no one is really reading it. It's just too complicated, and you know, people, seniors are really precarious, and being precarious for so long, they really just have a tunnel vision on what they need, and they don't really read other posters. You know what I mean? So, it got to be literature friendly, and you need to have that relationship to get that message across. You can't just like putting out facts and flyers and expect them to read. Like in a low income, excluded community, that just won't work. You got to have the relationship to pass the message.
I can see how that's challenging, because I can see that the downtown east side SRO collaborative may not have that many Chinese speaking folks who can go out and distribute information. I mean, I can see not many organizations would have those resources to do that.
And I think all the Chinatown organizations right now who serve Chinese seniors are running pretty thin. And in order to take on a new campaign, we really need to have recruit a lot more people and also have better coordination within the community.
I know many communities in Vancouver are struggling with rent debt right now and paying back their rents while trying to figure out precarious employment. Is rent debt and paying rent an issue for some of the Chinese-speaking tenants you work with, or are they managing to find financial help elsewhere?
No, like I actually have a couple of cases that the tenants weren't able to find work since pandemic, and they are in rent debt. The benevolent associations are kind enough to not evict them, but to a certain point that they said, like, you got to figure out the situation, otherwise we have no choice but to evict you. And then they actually, if it's not the grocery program that I have develop, I won't even have a chance to know about these situations. And then I connected the tenant with a social worker in the community and got him the recovery benefits. And yeah, that, but they don't, like a lot of tenants don't even know where to ask for help, especially the SRO tenants. I think at the beginning of the pandemic, I think until July or August, there was a rent freeze. Yeah, but it was canceled, or it was over after August, and then now they just have saying that rent increase is illegal, but people can still evict tenants. So I think that's something that the BC government really need to reinitiate the memorandum. Yeah.
So Nick, between the federal recovery benefit and the BC one-time payment, and I believe there's also financial assistance from the province to elderly folks who are renters, is that patchwork combination of federal and provincial subsidies enough for folks who are able to access them or know to access them? Or do you think that those subsidies still leave a gap even after seniors receive them?
Oh yeah, like definitely. It's definitely not enough. And to just say, like, a lot of seniors doesn't even know how to apply for that at the first place. The Chinese newspaper, they have saying different version, and then the seniors just not having enough support to apply for them. And even when after they apply, it's definitely not enough, because you can imagine, like in Chinatown, a lot of the store have closed, and because of a lot of them are seniors, they're afraid of going out. They won't even feel safe to go to bank to get cash. It's definitely not enough. And also the living costs is increasing a lot.
I can hear that, Nick. Nick, how much is rent on average for an SRO room run by a benevolent association?
Right, it's about 300 something to 425-ish. Depends, because some of the rooms are actually, if you live as a couple, it's going to be higher. if you live by yourself, and also depends on whether your room is renovated or not. Some of the tenants refuse to have their room renovated. And then the rent usually cheaper, but it's around 325 to 470-ish.
Nick, I want to ask you about two levels of government. One, there are some people who are saying that there is going to be a federal election soon. I'm curious if you had a chance, and maybe this is the chance to tell the federal government what they need to do for Chinese-speaking tenants. What would you say to them?
Well, I think one thing we really need is to have more funding, because most of the Chinatown housing funding right now actually goes to those benevolent associations with, which buildings are historical designated. And they usually get more money. And all these Chinese SROs or Chinese this SRO runs by Chinese benevolent associations, they are not historical building. And therefore, like the funding that they get is significantly a lot less than those historical buildings in Chinatown. And with less building, they're really hard for them to maintain or to improve the habitabilities in these SROs. So I think the federal election, we really need to focus on how to improve or like get more fundings to maintain these SROs. And also, eventually, when you think about, the seniors are getting older, and these buildings are not designed to be senior housing, and the needs of senior housing will be a lot more. So social housing and senior housing are definitely, need to be a priority for Chinatown.
And I also want to ask you about, on a municipal level, we are going to have a city council election next October, which maybe sound like a long ways off to some people, but to others, maybe it's not that far off. It's within 2 years. If you had a chance to say to city council, this is the help Chinese-speaking tenants need, what would you say?
One thing is that we definitely need a lot more help. Like all the Chinese, all the social workers and organizers I know in the communities are running really thin and not having enough resources to serve and support our seniors and tenants. I can tell that, from seniors I work with them every day, they don't even know the name of these organizations. They just tell you, organization that next to Sun Fresh, and we won't eat. Does that make sense? The literacy level is so high that we really need a lot more help on, recruiting the residents, who speak the dialects or have the capacity. We need to train a lot more people in the community to support themselves. And that really need a lot more fundings and resources from the city side.
I'm hearing a funding for peer support almost.
Yeah, funding for peer support, funding for translation. The city need to have a much better understanding on, not all the Chinese folks speak the same language. There's a lot of them actually just speak dialects. Even me, who speak Cantonese and Mandarin, won't understand. I raised in Hong Kong, so my Cantonese is a bit more advanced than a lot of the organizers around the community. You can imagine, the need for the language needs that we, it's huge in Chinatown, and we really need more support for that.
And Nick, I want to ask more. For a municipal government in a pandemic year, especially when funding is pretty thin, how else is there a way for city council to help other than providing funding? What else could municipal government help?
Some will say I'm out of my mind, but there's a lot of new business coming into Chinatown. A lot of gentrifiers, I would say. And I think, if you want to, and their business are definitely not serving the local communities, rather, but they're inviting other, richer, higher income folks to the community. I think they need to share their profits with us, really. You know, if you make a living here, you need to share with those within the community, but not like, you know, like slowly. Like everyone should deserve to make a living, you know, or yeah, able to survive in the community. So I really think one thing could do is to have a community benefit agreement to have some kind of mutual aid and sharing their profits, you know, with those who are suffering in the community.
And my last question for you today is, I know there's a lot of, there's definitely a lot going on in the neighborhood. And I wanted to ask you, what, if anything, this week has brought you or tenants you work with brought you joy? Has there been a spark of joy in your week so far?
Oh, yes. This week I've spent like almost a year to reach out one of the Benjamin's owned SROs. And I have no luck to knowing any of the tenants there. The Benjamin's Association were pretty straight and saying that, you know, you cannot, you can talk to us if you want, you can talk to the manager, you can talk to the caretaker, but not the residents. But I eventually, like one of the residents who need help on his rent because he couldn't pay rent for a very long time and finally reached out for help. And I had an interview with him yesterday. And it was a really significant moment because after a year of reaching out, I finally have an in to the building, and that's really happy. Makes me really happy.
Well, congratulations, Nick. And I'm sure that tenant is grateful for the support as well. And thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you sharing what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you a lot.
That was Nick Young. Nick is an organizer with the Downtown Eastside SRO Collaborative, and he works with Chinese-speaking seniors in SROs. And that's it for today. You're listening to The Pulse on CFRO, your super local morning news show here on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Mei Si. And as always, please tell us what you think of the show. We're super curious. I'm at Mei Si at coopradio.org. That's MEIXI at coopradio.org. Ciao. Take care.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.